Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
So on today's episode of Believing in God, Having Faith, I've got my lovely partner in crime, my soon-to-be husband, Stuart Robertson. And we're just gonna quickly talk about what does the soul mean to you? Yes, the soul, as in S-O-U-L. Now, the reason I've decided to talk about this topic is because, as I was briefly saying to my future husband, that when you went to work earlier, I went to church, and the topic was soul. And what is your soul, and how can we make our soul happy? And for people that believe in God or Allah or Buddha or any other divine power, like, how can you connect your soul and make it happy and make it satisfying to your creator, whether you have a creator or, you know, if you believe in planets and just Mother Nature, how can you make yourself happy? And what must you do to get to eternal peace? So, yes, in your opinion, what do you think one needs to do to make their soul happy? And first of all, in your opinion, what is your soul?
Okay, what is your soul? I think it's an inner peace within yourself, and it's maybe what gives you the sense of the gut instinct and, like, the conscience and things like that. So it can help you, kind of guide you to have the purpose and meaning of your own life. So I think first.
Okay, so you mentioned inner peace. What is inner peace? If I came to you, I don't know you, I've never met you before, and you said to me, Chidima, your soul is inner peace, or you need inner peace to touch your soul, and I'll be like, what is inner peace? What would your description of inner peace be?
I would say you've got to do what makes you really happy. There's general day-to-day happiness, and then there's, say, if you like, a long-term span happiness. For example, everyone has short-term goals and long-term goals. Same goes to me, I think it's same with happiness. You've got short-term happiness. You might have wee tastes for a cup of coffee. That'll make you happy for 10 minutes. But what is going to make you happy long-term? And that's where you have maybe bite-sized chunk goals in order to do that. So every time you succeed in life, then it'll get you a bit more happier. You break down another barrier that makes you more happy. That's you getting a wee bit more in the peace. When you're frustrated, like for myself, if I'm frustrated or just unhappy, I'll meditate it off. I will write. Sometimes it is just a matter of watching a bit of TV. I'll sit and think. I'll and write my journal. So it's just a matter, I think, different circumstances. You do whatever it is that you connect with yourself.
Okay, and so another thing that John Oldberg would say, that sometimes, so it's all about self. So, for example, you know, you hear the unique expressions, you need to do what makes you happy, or you need to impress yourself.
Yeah.
Or you need to learn to love yourself first. But John Oldberg was saying was that, in a nutshell, it's not about loving yourself. It's about kind of removing yourself from the situation and then removing yourself from the situation and then putting it into the higher being, whatever that may be.
Okay, again, that to me sounds as if it's, I mean, yeah, a form of meditation, because, or like maybe even CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy. Like, so when you're caught up in the moment, remove yourself, take a step back and think, how can I deal with this situation to make it better, or whatever it is, or overcome whatever hurdle you have to do. So maybe that's how the higher power comes in, because everybody, in regardless what way, like you said, whether it's God, Allah, Buddha, Mother Nature, whatever it is, you just take a step back and see what one person, what one can do to do what he or she can do in that situation to make things better, instead of just going off on a tangent and just get caught up in the moment. Because I think that is what a lot of people do. I'm not saying it's just a recent thing, like say 100 years, I'm sure it's happened ever since the start of time in humanity. But it's just over time, we've taken these examples and tried to learn from them. Might not always work, but yeah, it might get heated and so on and so forth. But if we deal with the situations right, then we can make sense of what's going on.
Yeah, because I was going to say as well, another thing that John Oldberg said on the video is that the reason why some people, their soul is not whole, or their soul is not happy, or their soul is not where it's supposed to be, is because they've kind of disconnected. And as you know, we live in a very, very busy life. Yeah.
Busy. TVs are on, everyone's on their phones. Yeah. Even though there's six people, seven people in the room, they're all on their phones and they do not talk. It's...
So what my question is to you is, do you think we need to kind of disconnect from social media or media in general? And second of all, so there's two questions. One, do you think we need to disconnect from all kinds of social media and just news in general? And two, you know, we live in London, so do you think, or we live in Europe in general, and Europe is a pretty busy continent to live in. So do you think if we went to somewhere like Africa or India, where they don't have as many technology as we do, do you think, you know, we would be able to connect with our soul more and connect with connect with our inner being?
Yeah, I think you and me would be able to do that, because I mean, first of all, we were born in the 80s. Internet didn't come till, well, both myself in the 90s some point, so I know what it's like to not have the internet and not have every single resource at your fingertips just by punching a bunch of keys. But so we grew up reading books, talking to people. My first mobile was when I was 18, and that was like the second generation ones, which was fine with me. It was a bit of a brick, but it's fine, did the job. But the fact that the internet is in everybody's fingertips now, whether you've got a phone, a laptop, like whether it's a Huddle, Kindle, that kind of thing. It's and hell, even internet cafes, there you go. It's just computers available there. I think it's just too much. I think it is a good thing to just stop technology in certain places. I mean, to have Bluetooth everywhere, or like how you can connect your phone and USB ports, everything in your cars, you name it. And like I said, internet cafes, you go to a cafe to have a coffee and a chat. Not to sit, I can understand how business people might need to do a quick something on the go before they go for a meeting or something. But then again, you should schedule your life to get that done. Or if it's not done because of whatever reason, allow that time. It just companies to allow the time to, let it be and just get it in the next day or whatever it is. Just like how it was before. So as for disconnecting yourself from the general way of the internet, etc., and devices, I think these retreats should happen. Everyone should have that time, even if they don't want to, they should experience it, because the 21st century is, it's a bit of a living mess. Everyone's overstressed. Everyone's, like I said, everyone, there's people in a family or a circle of people, they meet for whatever occasion, and they're still sitting on their phones playing a game or texting somebody. They're not interacting with the people they're around with, or they're just hooked on watching a soap opera or whatever it is. That's not normal. That is not what you call like human interaction. It's not. So to go to Africa India remote or any remote place, for that example, that doesn't have all that technology at you. I agree with that. Like, for example, I love the times when we went on caravan holidays. We went to France. Personally, I can't speak much French at all. We took some books. We might have listened to a wee bit of the French radio for the sake of it. And we just walked about and that was it. Yeah. Had days out somewhere, yeah. But as I said, all this technology, it's a living mess. I know it does come in handy when people live in different countries. A friend or a family have moved to a foreign country and you can still do video chats, etc., or just the calls, but it has its limits until it screws the mind up. Because the more we use technology, the more we rely on it, and the less we actually use our brain. Our brains are getting smaller. It's been proven.
Back to my original question about, so do you believe we are living in a very hurried world where people are just, they don't have any patience, they don't, they're always
busy? Oh, absolutely. I mean, like, you saw my mental state getting better as whenever I came down here, and then when I stayed here, when I finally moved, because where I was brought up, I just thought everyone was down and out, moaning about X, Y, Z. I know it's not the best of weather up there, but there's not as many pleasantries. And then the thing about everybody keeping fit, there it is, it's great. You get so many people riding the bike, etc., down here, whereas it's few and far between. And that's the things we should be doing more. Just doing anti-technology things. I mean, again, that's what I know, like, the gym is keep fit, but it is machines. So that's why I think to go on, like, nature trails or whatever, these things are beneficial. And when it comes to television, etc., I think it's a good thing to, if people set at least maybe one day a week or fortnight, if that, whatever it is, sort of regular basis thing anyway, no technology, and just have a talk, or if you want to, sit in silence and reflect on yourselves, or let people like myself, I might pick up the guitar, write a tune, let my mind go, and yeah, that's that.
So in terms of connecting your soul and how busy we are in society, how do you feel that our busyness or our hectic lifestyle has put a negative damage on our soul?
Oh, it certainly has. I think because of everyone's running about and just, like, hectic lifestyle, you're not given that time. Like I said, there's not many people of what I know who take time out for themselves, whether to talk to another the old school way, or whether it's you sit in silence and, when, in a way, if you like, talk to yourself. Or just think to yourself, because that's how, in my experience, that's how, and maybe understanding, that's how the human body calms down. You've got to take that time out. If you don't, you're just going to go insane, because you never, I mean, yeah, you just never take time out. That's why, I think that's why that people have mental health problems, serious mental health problems, whether it's depression, anxiety, or whatever it is. It's because they haven't experienced enough of the old school ways to extract that excess energy. So you need to, like, kind of reach out to whatever it is and feed your soul with the good stuff that the soul needs, and release the excess negative energies, or just energies that you don't know how to get rid of, whether it's hitting the gym, writing stuff down, talking, any kind of therapy like that. Every single body needs it. Every single mind needs it.
So for anyone that is listening to this podcast and they're like, you know, I feel that my soul is just not connected anymore. I feel like I don't know how to have a deep connection with my soul. I don't know what to do about, you know, getting my soul to the point where, you know, it can feel happy again. It can feel connected to God or to Mother Nature. What would your advice be?
Like I said, take time out of extreme technology and try and schedule a day a week or a day a fortnight, some kind of regular basis, more if you want to, and have less of the technology and time out to, go and just see some scenery, some nature, and realise what this planet has to offer. This planet wasn't made for us human beings to make technology and ruin it and not take advantage of all this scenery and places to help get our heads right. Again, whether you go down the path of God, Allah, Buddha, Mother Nature, whatever it is, one way or another, humans have got to find, I think it is, that they've got to take themselves back from just doing artificial things, watching TV, etc. And there's got to be more of a time to look deep inside of you and see who you are and what your next goal is, what are you doing right, what are you doing wrong, and just see if you need to change in any way as a person, etc. That is what connecting with your soul is all about.
So in summary, what does your soul mean to you?
I think now that I've hit the spot talking about that, it means a great deal. I mean, especially the fact that I meditate and I'm a musician, so I write my own stuff, and as I said earlier, I keep a journal. It's all outlets for me to understand who I am, what I'm doing wrong, what I'm doing right, and just in general terms to get away from the technology. I just need to see who I am at times. So it means a great deal. If I don't connect with myself in whatever way it's going to be, I've suffered a bit of depression. I've suffered mental health issues for one another, and I've broken down a bunch of times. It's hard. It's really, really hard to hold it all together. And sometimes you just have to let go, whether it's a cry, whether it's a scream, or whatever kind of outlet, boxing, music, whatever it is, or a few of them, it doesn't matter. The human mind and soul has to let go. We're not robots.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your contribution. Hopefully, this podcast will get people thinking about their soul and what they need to do to make their soul more pure and cleaner.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, thanks very much for having me.
No problem. Take care.
Bye, folks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.